Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Pacifica National Board's Audit Committee. It is Wednesday, January 14th, and as usual, I always ask for your continued support of this wonderful foundation. As you know, things are a little tight with us right now, so whatever you can do in terms of contributions to help us, we greatly appreciate it. Tonight, Lisa Davis will be our acting secretary. My name is Nia Bediaco, and I'm the chair. Lisa, please call the roll.
Okay.
Members. Thanks.
Sure, and I just want to say Happy New Year to everyone. Also, Susan, who is our wonderful secretary, is not able to do it, so I'm kind of doing it on the fly right here. So anybody's name that I don't call, please, you know, yell out your name for me. Carolyn?
Yes, ma'am.
Burden? Okay, Lisa Davis, that's me. Andrea?
Maybe that's part of
it.
You're here, okay. That's a yes.
Mm-hmm.
Susan?
Yes.
Yes. Nia Bediaco, you're here. Is there anybody else on this committee whose name I did not call who's here? Yeah, I'll just record everybody who's present for just, you know, time's sake. Okay, nobody else? Okay.
Okay, thank you, Lisa. Well, tonight there's only one item on the agenda, and the item is to have our external auditor, Tony Paul, Helen Donovan, give us a preliminary report of how our audit is going as normal practice. So,
Madam Chair, I'm sorry. I didn't call, but the CFO, is he on the call?
Yes.
I should have asked anybody's name I didn't call. I'm sorry. So just for the record purposes, Lonnie Hicks. Okay.
I'm on the call. My name's Rico Ross, KPFK.
Oh, that's right.
And I think Yoshi Yamanaka.
Right, and Yosh, right.
Could I possibly make a request to those who aren't speaking to possibly put their phones on mute so that we don't get a background noise?
That's okay.
Thank you.
Rico has asked every. Okay, great. Okay. Did everyone who's not speaking put his or her phone on mute? Okay. I'm Tony Paul. Tony, I am going to turn it over to you. There's just one item on the agenda, and that's to do the preliminary report. So,
thank
Tony
you, Neil. Good evening. Good evening, or good morning, everybody. My name is Tony Paul. I'm a partner with PMB Helan Donovan. This past year, you selected our firm to do the audit of the Pacifica Foundation for the year end of September 30th, 2008. Before I make any comments, I would like, if I may, to have Lonnie Hicks, your CFO, just talk about the status of the audit from his perspective as to where we are and you know, sort of encourage his comments first. Lonnie?
Yes. Okay. I'd be happy to do that. Well, as you know, we have our year-end, and we have Tony Paul's firm, which has come and done yeoman work in terms of coming to Pacifica, which is a complicated organization, and starting an audit. What I'm going to do is give the status of the audit in a preliminary way, so you folks know how things are going. And then Tony will finish up, I suppose. First of all, let me say, this has been a difficult audit. It's been a difficult audit. And it's been difficult in basically three ways. Although I'm hearing someone breathing. Someone is breathing or forcing papers.
Someone is doing both, and perhaps pound. One is the usual number. If your phone doesn't have a mute button, could everyone check it?
Pound one, is it?
It could be.
Yeah. And then how do you take it off of mute?
The same thing. Pound one back. Toggle, but somebody. Thank you.
Well, that's a little better, I suppose. Can everyone hear me now?
Yes.
I can hear you, yep.
Okay, three areas I'd like to comment on about how this audit is going. The first area is that part of an audit, of course, is getting information from various nations. And that is a lot of detailed information. And I don't think we've done very well in providing to the auditors the kind of detailed information that they need to do an audit. Now, normally we would have a controller, which we don't have at this point, and we are handicapped with some reductions at the national office. But nonetheless, at the station, there are real issues. Yeah, I'm still hearing noise. There have been difficulties, and I was just going to go through a few other issues around delivering information to the auditor. First issue, we're still getting information 20 minutes ago from WBAI. Yesterday, I had to actually bring in a person that used to work for us, Alvin Yip, to help PFA complete the data that they need.
Terribly sorry, but could we put out a call again loudly for someone to mute themselves? There's background. Someone has an open phone.
Okay.
A lot of background.
Okay. Remember, it's the number sign twice and one. You can do it on your cell phone, so it doesn't matter what phone you're on. It's the number sign twice and one. Okay, so everyone, please do that. The number sign twice and one. Okay, go ahead, Lon. And then speak right into your mouthpiece.
Okay, here we go. That's pretty. Let's see how this goes. All right, we had problems at KPFA. One of the reasons is, of course, they lost their business manager, Lois Withers, who left with 2 weeks' notice. That created a problem of finishing up 9:30.
It is a little louder, Lonnie. Louder, because you get closer to your mouthpiece.
Louder? Okay, that created a problem for KPFA being able to provide data. Much information, only Lois knew where it was. So we had many, many emails going back and forth with Lois at her new job, trying to locate data, locate information, and ask questions. It was not a smooth audit. Yes, and we're still getting some information from KPFA. WBAI, very, very difficult getting information from WBAI. It's, I have to say, a perennial problem, and it's a problem this year. 20 minutes ago, with many, many emails, many, pleas to get the information. We're still getting information. This is complete or not.
Lonnie, speak up. You're fading away. I don't know what phone you're on, but your voice is going in and out.
I'm talking as loudly as I can. Someone is
stay right there. We can hear you. We can hear you right there.
All right. Someone's breathing over me.
Okay, just try to work through it because it's not going away. Go ahead.
Yeah, line,
are you
talking about
from BAI? Yeah, I said we have real trouble at WBAI getting information, getting responses to emails, getting data that's complete, and we've had, I don't know, too many emails. It's worse than it was even last year. We have those two stations, one because they lost the business manager, one because I do consider WBI to be a perennial problem in getting financial information. It's caused real problems at those two stations. The other kind of problem we have is that different evaluating their premiums at different cost levels. And we have to have some way of getting uniformity around what the value of premium inventory is going to be. Another kind of problem is control. Stations, despite the fact that we have a finance manual, stations are still not complying with a number of the requirements that are in the manual. I think we're going to have to go this year
go over the manual again and ensure that stations are compliant with at least the basics that are in the manual. Very important for control purposes. The other issues are going to be issues around how you handle cash. Always an important issue. I think that's going to have to be looked at again. We looked at it last year, and we now need, with a new financial policies and procedures manual, to really, really make sure that we're working with that manual in some sort of way. KPFT doesn't comply to the double signature policy on cash disbursement checks. That is to say, at least two people should sign off on checks, not one. That is an issue for obvious reasons, because you never know who the check is written to if only one person sees it or signs off on it. MEMSIS report. It's really clear this year that an accurate financial statement and an audit can't be done unless the national office and the auditor have access to the MEMSIS report. And why that's important is because if you can't verify revenue figures, Mr. Support, unless you have the backup, which is what comes in those MEMSIS reports. And I know that's a very sensitive area and a political area. Our stations might feel that people get a hold of the donor list or the pledges. But I think we have to do something about that, at least to have access on a deducted basis or in some sort of way. What goes into these financials from the stations when they report revenue, is there true revenue? And in order to be sure about that, you have to see the MEMSIS reports, and maybe we can work out a report that's sort of a blind report, but we must be able to verify what station revenues are. That's the revenue side, and that comes from the MEMSIS side. Now, the other thing, and the last thing I will speak about, is that the business managers this year don't have a sense of urgency about requests for financial information. And what's happening is that many times business managers feel they're in the middle between the local board situation and the GM. They don't report to the CFO. So you have a situation at Pacifica right now where none of the stations do I have any sign-off on their bank account. And I don't supervise the business managers. That creates a terrible accountability problem. But if I can't demand information, reasonable information, and get it, and it's affecting the audit this year, and it's getting worse. As times get tough, stations tend to feel that the money is theirs and the financial information is theirs. My view, it is not the property of the station. It's the property of the network. Need to complete an audit in a timely way to maintain our own revenue from CTV and to maintain revenue from donors in the 90s to have the documents that are necessary for banks that we deal with that require these documents every year. I'm proud to be heard, so I'm not shouting at you. I'm just trying to say it's loud to be heard. So these are serious issues that have come to a head. I just don't think that the decentralized financial structure of Pacifica, you have a decentralized financial structure where the stations have all the invoices, stations have all the original documents, stations put all the information into the network Great Plains accounting company. And how do you verify that? Well, there is no way to verify it unless you go down and check every invoice, every donation. End up doing it sort of on a yearly basis, but that's not adequate control. So I'm recommending that the business managers report to the CFO. We have a dual reporting relationship with the CFO and the ED board. I think that same kind of dual relationship can apply to the business managers reporting to the CFO, because that is a vital link that the board is requiring of me. If you read the CFO job description, I'm supposed to verify all assets, deposits, investments, but I don't know how that's going to be. I don't see how the auditors have had. So I think it needs to be looked. To summarize, we are not yet ready to use the audited financials. We're reasonably close, but people have gotten things last. We haven't had time to review material to see how close we actually are. Board meeting coming up in a week and a half. It's not fair to ask the auditors to turn around a document in that sort of short time frame. So, where we stand now is we're not sure ready to produce the audit document. A couple of days, we're going to go all over this last increment, make sure there are no open items. The numbers that we have gotten make sense, are converted, and then see where we stand in terms of being able to present to the board at least the draft audit document. The follow-on, after we do the draft audit document, then I'll finish, is we have to do 990. That is to say, there are other documents that are part of this audit that have to be done, depending on the audit. 990 is required by donors, banks, and by CPB. We have to produce the equivalent of an online financial report for CPB, which is coming up next month. So the audit process has three or four parts to it, and we are behind and late where we need to be. Is it fixable? Will we be able to turn this thing around and anyway? I'd have to say we're very, and I'm not sure. I'm just not sure. We've been in this bad shape in an audit. It's not great either. So people will be looking at this audit with a great deal of scrutiny because they're interested in our financial status. You want the audit to be as accurate as possible. So, sort of my point of view. Other folks might have a different point of view, but this is where I have been putting together all the myriad of details needed for an audit. Okay?
Okay. Thank you, Lonnie. Tony, do you have anything to say? Either you
yes,
or
Tony. Thank you, Mia. I must admit, I really sort of ought to Lonnie to be the messenger on what, quite frankly, I see as bad news. Because it was important for me to have the audit committee understand that you've got some grave issues facing you. And that management, or at least the financial arm of management, and the outside auditors, and we've got no specific relationship or anything to tie to each other, are in concert that you have some big issues. Just to give you some, if I may take a moment, I'm part of the Pacifica constituency. I've donated to your organization. I think you have a unique place in public radio. My concern is that I can see things slipping away from you. And Lonnie is correct when he says that this has probably been one of the most difficult audits I've had to deal with in, I think, 35 years of professional experience. Getting information. Nobody seems to be accountable. That's a very major control weakness. That we've got areas that original documents are maintained at the stations, and they're not sent to the national office. These are all different kinds of control issues where if national office does not have access to the report that generate your combined financial information, it is a control weakness. Is a material control weakness. So we have concerns. We're close to getting the audit finished, but we're not there yet. I think in the next few days, hopefully, for the information that we've requested is here, we should be able to wrap things up.
Okay. That's it? Does anybody else from your firm want to speak, Tony?
No, I mean... I might have some specific questions.
Can I ask who's the second gentleman who spoke? What was his name?
Let me just say, I had on the line Don Townsend, who's the senior manager. Don was responsible for reviewing the work papers, the detailed work papers, and Arnaud Moguin, who's a senior accountant in charge of the day-to-day field work. He was out with the staff accountant. He was the guy peppering Lonnie and the different stations for detailed information.
And your name?
Unmute.
My name is Tony Paul, and I'm the partner responsible for this engagement.
Thank you so much.
Madam Chair, point of information?
Yes.
May I just ask only for the purposes of taking notes? Tony, I'm sorry, could you please repeat the names of the people that you said are with you again? I couldn't quite understand. And with, regarding Mr. Townsend, did you say Don or John?
Don. D-O-N, Don.
D-O-N, okay. And the second person is?
I don't know. Why don't you spell your name, please?
A-R-N-A-U-D.
A-R-N-A-U-D. Okay, and your last name?
M-O-U-G-I-N.
G-I-N. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
As you can gather, Don is a Frenchman.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Oh, Arnaud sounds like the Frenchman to me.
Arnaud, yes. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Excuse me. I said Don.
I was thinking about
okay.
I was going to say, he's the one who sounded like the accent.
Right. I was just paying attention. Now, that's quite sobering to say the least. So I'm sure that we'll probably have a lot of questions. What I'm going to do, I'm going to take a step. So who wants to ask a question or questions?
Susan? Madam Chair, can you hear me, Susan?
Yes, I can hear you, Susan. Who else?
Madam Chair, this is Lisa. You could put me on the stack as well.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay, so we'll go with Susan, and then I'll take another stack. Go ahead, Susan.
Okay, I'd like to ask the auditor. We have had a clean opinion for the last several years, and hang on a minute. Can you all hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. We've had a
clean opinion. Say where you're from, Susan.
Excuse me?
Say where you're from.
I'm from KPFT in Houston, Texas. We've had a clean opinion for several years, and the management control system that we have in place is exactly the same that we have had for several years. What's changed?
I cannot, and it would be unfair for me to comment on what has transpired in the past. I can tell you that PMB Helan Donovan is an office. We have some 10 offices in the U.S. All of his 14 partners, with the exception of one, we're all from Big Four. I personally spent over 12 years with a Big Four firm. We do a lot of audits. We probably do several hundred audits. Many of which are SEC audits, which are certainly at a standard higher than most audits, commercial audits. And in our professional opinion, we believe that there are some issues.
All right, let me just say, and Madam Chair, I'll get off. Thank you very much, gentlemen. We need this information. I have been concerned that we have not had adequate knowledge and understanding of the financial controls and that they have been inadequate, and I look forward to working with you to address these matters.
Susan,
this
is me. Susan, when you said we, is it collective we, or are you speaking specifically about T, about the exception of T?
I have had these concerns.
Right. But may I make
a comment on that?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the comment is that these are combined financial statements. Actually, this is KPFA, KPFT, WBAI. You're all part of one organization. And as goes one station, so goes the organization. And I think this is It's imperative, from my perspective as a businessman, as an auditor, that the organization pulls together. It's going to be hitting some rough spots. We're seeing in our client, in our not-for-profit clients, a big downturn in giving. We're seeing a downturn in grants, in corporate grants, and state grants. This will be a critical time. This is a critical time for Pacifica, and it has to be one organization, not five or six.
And just so you know, Susan, before you get on the board, in terms of the double signatures not being complied with for T, that exception was an exception there last year. So that
I understand. And I'm not just talking about T, frankly. I mean, the problem at T, and I am dismayed if that hasn't been corrected. I read the notes of the auditor from last year, and I was appalled at how the system is being managed. I am very dismayed if we have not corrected that situation at T. But that is just one of many, many problems at the different stations and for the system as a whole.
Yeah. Thank you, Susan. Point well taken. Thanks. Lisa?
Well, I didn't know if, and I guess if Lonnie has anything he wants to say, he'll also respond. I was just going to ask again, because I'm the one taking the notes here. Tony, you were talking about, you mentioned something about grave issues facing the station, and I saw that you had started to say something about, I guess, concerns with management or how management has been, how you feel they have been working or not supplying information. Could you just elaborate that on a little bit more? I just want to make sure I'm understanding the sense of what you were saying.
Yeah, thank you for bringing that up. What I was trying to say is that, you know, the events over the last few months, we've already seen a rapid decline, one in portfolios. Secondly, as a result of that, in part, and because of the poor economy, a downturn in charitable giving. Also, we've seen a downturn in corporate giving. You know, some foundations, some corporate donors and community foundations have lost 20 or 30% of their portfolios. Consequently, they've had to cut down their giving. What I was trying to say is that, if I didn't say it clearly, I'll repeat it, that all not-for-profit organizations, not just KPFA, all of them, are going to be facing a very, very difficult period. They're going to have to look at programs very hard to make decisions about which programs stay and which programs get cut back. They're going to look at ways of soliciting money. That means they're going to have accurate, timely financial information. They can't wait for 2 months to get a financial report. They can't wait for 5 months to get an audit report. Donors are going to be expecting to see crisp, timely financial data. In order to do that, every organization that's going to be successful will have to have a strong system of internal accounting controls which allows information to be gathered timely and accurately and forwarded to the board and to donors.
Okay, thank you, Lisa. Does anybody else have any questions? Okay.
I'm sorry, can I get back on the stack, Mia, if nobody else has any more questions?
Lisa. And Carolyn, back, please.
Okay. Lisa Carolyn Yosh.
Right.
Go ahead, Lisa.
Okay. I was going to say, and Lonnie, perhaps you could you can elaborate on this a little bit more, because I know that some of the issues in terms of reporting and trying to get like a unified system of how things should be reported and things of that are important, and I know that I've heard you, you know, on several occasions speak about the difficulty at times with getting information, and, you know, some stations might do something one way or another way, and then I know that I think it was last year, maybe the year before last, I'm a little confused, that the PNB had instructed, and this was something I believe that you had started on, and you also referenced it in terms of a manual that that was put together. And in fact, I believe the Finance Committee and the Audit Committee kind of looked it over, you know, what recommendations, if I'm remembering correctly. Could you please comment on that a little bit? And you mentioned again something about, you know, having difficulty getting people or getting the various stations to follow the manual. Do you have any more to say about that, Lonnie?
Sure. You know, I put that manual before the board in 2003.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote that. 2003, I put it before the board. They did not pass it until last January at that board meeting. I think it slipped by. You know, after work having been done by the general managers, the finance committee, the audit committee, we all worked on that manual. So they passed it last January. So it's been a year. And I'd have to say that some of the same problems exist in enforcing what's in that manual everybody sort of agreed to. But like many Pacifica documents, it was done by a huge committee of general managers, business managers, everybody. And right now, a year later, I think the manual is wonderful to have. We need to be able to enforce it. We may need to simplify it because it can be cumbersome for a small station. But we need written financial policies and procedures. But more importantly, like so many things at Pacifica, we need a way to enforce policies and procedures. We don't. Our implementation is not good in so many areas. So I think that we have to focus this year on making that manual real and enforcing it. And I can't think of another way to do it than to have those business managers and people at the stations really buy into the system and they have some accountability, because I don't see it. I feel as though I've got all the responsibility but none of the authority to carry out policy that we may agree to. And the Financial Policies and Procedures Manual is essential for internal control. Essential, because it puts everybody operating the same way with the same accounting methodology and being accountable for producing financial information in the same way. So we need to focus on that manual.
Okay. Just one second, Carol, you're next. Lonnie, could you please, when you get a chance, could you forward that to me again, and then I'll forward it to the committee? I know I could dig it up, but it would take me a little while. And what you're saying is true. That was just passed in 2008. Next on the stand is Carolyn. Carolyn?
Yes, thank you. Sorry I was muted. Yeah, Carolyn Burden from WBAI here. I know when that manual was passed, Mike Martin brought the motion last January. I remember it well. And we have tried to look at it, but I have a question for Tony. I don't know whether the lack of implementation of that manual or the procedures that are not being followed, are these procedures that are standard accounting practices, I forget the term for that, the acronym for that term, or are they problems with management requiring accountability? We've always had a question of accountability, and a lot of the items in the manual, which I have raised several times. I raised them during a director's inspection last year. They have not been attended to, and I'm not sure where the responsibility lies. Is it with the CFO? Is it with management? Is it with auditors to require these things? I'm just not sure where the responsibility lies, and I think that has always been...
Yeah, I think I can address that. And I can be very specific, and I'll know, or Don, please, if I misspeak, would you please pipe in? I'll give you a very specific example of WBAI. I don't believe the bank reconciliations were done for quite a while. Now, typically, in a multi-division organization, such as Pacifica Foundation, the bookkeeper would do the bank reconciliations, or whoever's responsible at that division, do the bank reconciliation and forward them to the headquarters, to the national organization, for the, for a review to be done to make sure that they were done on a timely basis. And if within 3 to 4 weeks after the end of the month following, if the prior month's bank reconciliations had not been sent to corporate headquarters, there would be all hell to pay, and the person, there would be some level of accountability. As I've mentioned to Mia in a separate phone conversation, it seems like the solid line of reporting for business personnel seems to be through the local station to the local board. There should be, with just a dotted line, going over to the national office. In my professional opinion, the solid line should be to national office. They're the ones that are providing the account to Lonnie's people. They're the ones that are responsible for putting together the financial information. And they're the ones who should have the, I guess, the authority to demand that that information and to have it done correctly. The authority that's vested in them by the board of directors to get the demand and receive that information so that they can, at national office, they can be assured that the controls are working in place at each and every location.
Thank you. That follow-up, though, talking about the authority, our CFO has had pretty much authority. What authority do you think he has that should have been given?
Speak up, Carolyn. I can hardly hear you, Carolyn.
What authority do you think that the CFO should have had?
I guess what I'm saying is authority, perhaps accountability. With a solid line, for example, typically a bookkeeper responds to an accounting manager, reports to a controller or an assistant controller, and that person's performance and is evaluated by those people above him or above her, as the case may be. We don't see that. The sense that we got in the course of the audit, and particularly at WBAI, was that requests were made either by the auditors or by national office, but there was no sense of urgency, no sense of accountability, no sense of responsibility for making sure that information was produced as requested.
And how long do you think this has been going on? Is there a
continuing
thing or just one time?
We've only stepped in as your auditors this year, so we cannot comment. However, I will say that if my sense is that a year from now, when we're finishing up next year's audit, that things are not improving or things have stayed pretty much the same, my sense is that we will issue what's called a material weakness letter, a material inadequacy letter, which is not a good thing to do. It's a severe slap on the wrist saying that your controls are not in place. These days, corporate donors like to see those management letters. I do not want to give out a bad report card. And I will do everything I can to work with my clients to make sure that that's avoided. But I have a professional, independent professional responsibility to indicate that if there are issues that I don't believe in my professional judgment are being fixed, that I report on them.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Tony. Next one to stack is one of our guests, welcome, Yosh. Yosh?
Yes, thank you, Nia. And I guess this question is directed to Lonnie. And I'm quite surprised to hear that you're not getting much more cooperation from the business managers. Especially, the only business manager I really know is the business manager over at KPFK, and he seems to, at least in this new regime, during the past year, he seems to have been very forthcoming and very cooperative, certainly with the LSB, and I would assume that he's been very cooperative with the CFO and the auditor. My first question is, have you been getting full cooperation from the business manager at KPFK? And the second question is, what does the CFO recommend as far as putting some teeth or accountability into this relationship between the business managers and the CFO? Thank you.
Well, thanks, Yoshi. The first question has been the cooperation from KPFK.
Yeah.
It has been better because you have a person in place who really works hard, as you know.
Yes.
But I don't want to speak about a personnel situation, but he believes it's too difficult. He'd like it to be a lot easier because he doesn't know who it reports to. Is it the LSB? Is it individual board members? Is it the manager? Is it the CFO? Is it people in my office? Who does he require to respond to? The reason that relationship has gone a little bit better is because my office work closely and we share that work with him today because it's so outrageous. We actually understand and help him with these books. The solution. What do I think? I think it's time for the CFO. I think
Lonnie, you faded completely out. I don't know if everyone else heard you, but I did not. Repeat
not
that, please.
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yes, that decibel is very good.
My answer to the question is what can be done? I think the business managers ought to report to the CFO. And I think that invoices and original documents have to come to the national office, and the stations keep the copies. And I think we have to get access to the MEMSIS system to verify revenue and numbers we're seeing people enter into these accounts. What sometimes happens is you get an entry into the account that says revenue is $100. And then a month later or 2 months later, there's an adjustment, and the revenue shrinks. Or changes. We need to be able to verify. We spend 50% of our time at the national office asking stations, do you have backup for this number that you put in here? Or have you not paid your bills? I see no entry here. You know, you're not paying your bills. And entries that proved to be inaccurate. And what we did from the previous auditor, we added an internal auditor over the materials coming in from the station. Now, 5 years ago, the financial structure at Pacifica was top-down. All invoices came to the national office. All entries were made into the Great Plains from the national office. And of course, people had real problems with that, and the previous board went through some abuses by taking money from stations, et cetera. All that's true. But the decentralized reaction to that is worse because we have no control over the finance. Let me just give you one example. There is no way I would know if a station, someone in a station, would take checks or cash that comes in a station, put it in a separate bank account with their auntie's name on it. We have no control over the bank accounts the stations have. We don't even know what they are. We have to beg the stations to send us the bank statement. And that is not adequate control. And what will happen, in the worst case, is CPB or IRS or the federal government, anyone that's dealing with money will come in, and they'll say, we can't be sure that our donations, that our grants are adequately protected. That's what will happen sooner or later. So we have to clean up our act.
Thank you, Lonnie.
Okay. Yes, Andrea, that's you?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'd like to know if the last recommendation, does that go before the board or the recommendation that we would put on?
Actually, it's been the subject of a lot of controversy over the last 2 or 3 years when it's been proposed. I proposed it as part of my job description. The board doesn't want it. You know, the board's feeling, well, I can't speak for the board, but I can tell you that it's been voted down. And the part of the reason is you've got on the board who are from LSDs that don't want to speak. What they feel is a denigration of their power and authority going to the national office. So it's been a real political problem proposing that sort of thing. I think it's necessary. I now have to speak up.
Because what's happening is they're blaming me. I want me to maintain the finances of the network. You're going to have to have the power to do that.
Uh-huh. Okay, Carolyn, on the second.
Okay, Carolyn?
Yes, I'm sorry, I didn't quite get an answer to one question, and then I have another. Were the practices that, Tony, that you found not satisfactory, were they practices that did not comply with accepted accounting practices? And then the second question is...
Speak up, Carolyn. It almost sounds like you're on a 3-4-way line. You're so low.
No, I'm not. I'm on my cell phone. I'm sorry if that's a poor reception. But the question is whether or not the practices were... one of the problems with Memphis that I know, that I think is a problem, is that Memphis is a database, but we have 6 databases, essentially. We have 5 separate contract stations, and they're all individualized. And then there is a national office maintains a database through Memphis. So would it be helpful, would it solve some of these problems if we had one national database with Memphis, and then every station had individualized portions as required, or is that not relevant?
I'm not so sure. I mean, the way Memphis works right now is it's set up by each station, and that's fine. It can stay that way, provided that national office has access to that information, provided that the way things are recorded are consistent between each of the 6 divisions. And then it can stay. It doesn't have to be one report. Would it be better? Yes, probably it would be. But my preference is let's get those controls and let's take little baby steps first. And then once we know that everything, you know, that each division is working properly and doing what they're supposed to be doing and National is getting information, then we can talk about perhaps consolidating up into one report. It really doesn't, it's academic at that point. But once you've got good quality information at each location that everybody who needs to have access to it has access to it, then we've taken a major step.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm going to try a third time because maybe I'm not phrasing the question so it's understandable. But are the problems you see because we're not adhering to standard accounting practices, or are they...
Yes, they are. No, what I'm referring to are typical, yes. I'm sorry if I didn't make that clear.
They still have to. They're non-profit. I have to go.
Okay, Andrea, thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah, okay. Non-profit. Yeah, thank you.
The practices that we're recommending and that Lonnie's putting forward are typical, are recommended accounting procedures for not-for-profit, for SEC, and for commercial companies. We're not asking you, and Lonnie's not asking the organization to do anything that's completely unusual or not done elsewhere. They are generally accepted accounting practices.
Okay. I would like to put myself on the stack, but does anybody else want to go? Okay.
Madam Chair, I might have something to say again after you speak, but I'll wait until everybody else speaks.
No, go ahead, Lisa.
No, you can go. I'll defer to you. I thought I might. Okay. I'm not sure.
Okay, thank you. I mean, this is all, I won't say it's troubling to me because some of these things, for those of us who've been on the audit committee last year, for example, Lisa, me, I think on this call right now, there are only 2 of us, and we've heard some of these problems before. And a lot of the problems are, just so that you understand, I know it was said before, but I'd like to emphasize it, a lot of these problems are out of Lonnie's hands. There isn't anything, you know, that he can do to fix some of those things. As the Pacifica National Board, we're the ones that have to address these things. And I really thank you very, very much. You sound like you're doing a very, very thorough job, and we greatly appreciate that. That said, in terms of the dual control, I just need to understand something. Maybe I didn't get that. In terms of the bank accounts at WBAI, Lonnie, I think Tony said that your field auditor told you that they have not been done in quite some time. When the bank reconciliations aren't being done, how do you do the general ledger?
If take, for example, last fiscal year, that entries are not done, not completed by WBAI. What I've done in previous years, I have actually gone to New York, gone through the invoices in order to complete some of those financials. Remember, I used to make the trips at least two or three a year to get, especially if we were close to audit. I've gone to the banks and done separate confirmations because I couldn't get any cooperation. And this year, it's the same thing. Now, if you look at our audit from last year for WBAI, what we found was that a gift that had been booked as a restricted gift, or I think it's $150,000, turned out not to be restricted at all when I went to the original donor. We wrote the donor saying, was this a restricted gift? Well, it turns out it was not. And we have it in writing from the donor. It says, no, I did not state that was restricted. So that kind of thing breeds you don't trust what you're seeing, and you have to double-check everything. And it was in one person's name, $160,000, in a separate account in one person's name. Well, that's unacceptable. That is not acceptable. And that was last year. So I think that, a donor may call up and say, I have $150,000 for you, and then the money ends up in somebody's account with just them having their name on it, and them the only ones having access to it. Outrageous. And that's the kind of thing that you won't even find out about with the control that we have.
Okay, so, do you know for a fact that the general ledger was correct, though?
Now, the general ledger always has problems. I have, Alvin Yip and Stephen Chin, a third of their time, many times, is spent correcting the book at WBAI. There's a severe issue there. I mean, closing.
Okay.
Not to mention audit.
Yeah, and all the other bank recs for the other four stations are completed?
More or less. The Keys bank recs are good. KPFAs were up until they lost their business manager. Now we have some issues there. Don't have a business manager there yet. WBI I mentioned. WPFW, the bank recs are good, I have to say. And they're prompt. Like I said, it's been on the bank rec level, WBAI, and lately KPFA because of their loss.
Okay. All right. Lisa?
I was just going to say, just briefly, for those who don't know, I was on the national board for about 2 years. I think I might be correct in saying I'm no longer on the national board, but that I'm probably the one on this call who has probably been on the board the longest. And from what I was gathering when I first got on, and if I'm saying anything incorrect, it's not deliberate, you know, it's my understanding, was that that there had been quite a few issues that had been gone on with Pacifica, I guess from the old management, the takeover and things, with this new structure that they were trying to get on top of and to get rectified, and even in terms of, I guess, the financial audits and their finances, and that those issues, some things have been put in place to correct some of that. And Tony, I just want to say thank you so much for your initiative, and I'm so glad, you know, I'm very happy so far with our choice. And I do know that I did hear, you know, as a board member, I did hear oftentimes it would only be Lonnie, though, that when we would go to the meetings, that we would usually hear a report from Lonnie, whereas many times when we would have the in-person board meetings, we would hear things from the general managers, but I don't recall hearing reports from the business manager. So my feeling was that there was a little bit more of an understanding on working relationship with the general managers of the station and the national board and, you know, for the CFO, because Lonnie would always be there. But evidently, something from my assessment has fallen through, especially when I hear that there's not a sense of urgency. You know, you make these requests and there's not that coming from, you know, the business manager area or the business area. And sometimes with these stations, I think that there's a sense of people not really all the time getting the full picture that the stations are also part of a network, because many times, you know, they're at their individual station kind of doing things their way or whatever. And I think some of that, I mean, that needs to be an area that maybe the board can address. How do we begin to change that to someone? How do we begin to also make other people, like the business managers, really realize that there is a national office? You're not so independent. And I just know that as being on the a director for 2 years, I don't know if I've ever met any of the business managers, because I don't think they were there. They would not be a part of the reporting when we would have reports. When we go to this, we might hear from the general manager. That's my recollection. I might be mistaken. And also, again, I think that I have heard from the CFO on several occasions. In fact, there were these conversations that other directors had. Look, you're the CFO. You have to make sure that you get this information. So I have heard it, but I think evidently, and just for Tony, for your purposes, that, you know, if you don't have something where the reporting structure is understood to be, okay, you don't just only report to the general manager. You have to report this to the CFO. And the way Pacifica works, if it's not in writing, it basically almost doesn't happen. So many times something, you might hear something, report it to the board, and we're like, okay, we'll fix it. So I think that evidently it's clear that there has to be that area addressed too. But that's been my assessment somewhat of the communication style, which I think, as we can see, has not been the best way of doing things in terms of the CFO and the business reporting aspect of things. And I also would think that maybe the business managers also need to start becoming more of an integral part of the in-person board meetings and things. And maybe the board needs to approach them directly sometimes to make them more of a part of it, so they can really understand this broader picture, you know. But anyway, that's my little assessment.
Okay. So now that we know what the issues are, I would like Lonnie will send me a copy of the Policies and Procedures Manual. I have to do an audit report that's to be submitted in our board package. So Lonnie, I don't know how much it would cost, but I think it's imperative that you put a copy of the Policies and Procedures Manual in this particular board package, because some of the names that I see of the people that are going to be on the national board, they're new names. I certainly don't know them. That is, so in that sense, they're new to me, because I know they're not currently on with me. I think it's important to have that in there. And I had suggested an orientation for new directors and a refresher for those people who are returning. Now, right now, WBAI, we have not had our election yet, so we don't know who's going. If I go back, Lisa is also there. Whether Lisa or I go back, you know, at least we're both familiar with this. So one of us, I guess, or whosoever else is there, would give the report. So Lonnie, if you could please include that, and it would make the life, you know, whosoever goes, easier.
No, I'll do that. I will do that.
Okay, now, the other thing is, since the report, the preliminary report itself is not really finished, I looked at KPFTX, and we really don't have any, we have available dates, but I can't make, whatever is left there, I cannot make. So, we have so Tony, what do you suggest that we do? Because I cannot do
First off, when does the Neil, when does the package have to be submitted to the final package submitted for the January 30th board meeting? What is your
Lonnie would be able to answer that better than I.
Well, we're scheduled to hold our board meeting. I would say the 22nd would be good, but if we had to, we could bring the audit to the board meeting itself, which would be
okay. So the 30th.
The 20. Yeah, the.
Oh no, the 29th. I'm sorry, the 20, Friday the 29th. So I think Don Townsend, speak up, please. But I think it's really we're looking for some allocations for the statement of functional expenses.
Right.
And I think you know we should be able to wrap that up, and depending on Lonnie, what other information we've still got missing in the next couple of days, so we can finalize the actual financial statements over the next couple of days. Today is Thursday. Today's my Thursday. Your Wednesday. Perhaps even by the end of this coming weekend, we can have something in final format. And then, as far as our recommendations, that's a matter of us just writing those up. I would prefer to bring those with me rather than distribute them ahead of time. This is a very sensitive document, and therefore would like to limit its, you know, just have it available for the audit committee and the board of directors.
Okay.
Let me just mention a couple of gaps that are still in the footnotes. We're still looking for temporarily restricted net assets. We put in, obviously, disclosure in the footnotes.
What about the WBAI lease? Did that come in?
Yeah, we're looking for the lease commitments. We have a footnote that summarizes the obligations for each one of the lease years going forward. And we're still trying to get information for that, for the studio and office, and for the radio tower, I believe, at Empire State Building.
Right.
We need that that data for the lease commitment disclosure.
Okay.
Don, you and I know have, hang on a minute, if I may. Don, you and I know have, you and I rather have another audit committee meeting about 8 hours from now, I think, actually 11 hours from now.
Right.
I think once you're through that, if you and Arno could go over and meet with Lonnie and make some very specific, you know, put together a list of specific things and target dates as when we need that information, which I guess is really now.
We have it.
So if we, yeah.
Okay, let me just mention one thing. I've been kind of quiet, but we had a group, actually an affiliated firm in New York, who sent a couple of people right before Christmas to WBAI. We gave them a list of internal accounting control questions and issues to look at there. And they came back within one day's time, and these are people that didn't know WBAI. They just went there, their affiliated firm of ours. They had about 9 different points they came up with in one day. And one of them, just to give you a feel, you know, for the kind of thing they came up with, this deals with accounts payable. It said there was a period during the year ended September 30th, 2008, during which multiple individuals at WBAI were authorized to make purchases, resulting in bills and invoices being delivered to multiple people, but not centralized by a single accounts payable manager. As a result, the company incurred significant late fees, and some of the accounts payable amounts may be aged in the incorrect period. Okay, so it's just a matter of that's accounts payable, a very central function, obviously, to the entity, to the division, the station, and it just needs somebody to oversee that very important accounts payable function.
Okay, that's so what we're talking about again, Don. I'm going to cut you off on this because what we're talking about is very specific control procedures that we'll bring up in the management letter. But that's a very, very good example.
I'm just bringing up an example. But yeah, I just want to state as an example. Okay.
Okay.
So I think, Madam Chairman, that we will, Lonnie will meet with Don Townsend and Arno tomorrow, and in a couple, hopefully by the end of this weekend, my target for the staff is that by Monday morning, we have a final report available for distribution with a management letter falling right on its heels.
Okay. And whatever it is that you can, what you'd like to give out ahead of time, I know you said you would distribute the confidential document, but the other thing, if you send them to me, I'll distribute that to the audit committee just so that they are kept in the loop. And then after the PND meeting, I will send out the management letter after you've discussed it. Does that sound okay? Okay. Well, on that note, I guess we have nothing else for tonight. Being short and sweet, I want to thank everybody for coming. And so those of you who maybe I'll see you or talk with you again, take care and good night.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Beth.
Good night, everyone. Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Bye-bye.